like a river, I am delivered and whole. Love flows, saving the sinner, Jesus the giver of hope.
So we're talking about the series. Do you remember when we got together just a couple of weeks back? Do you remember the name of the series? Try to guess it. Make it great, that's right. Which obviously means that all of our relationships are already fantastic, correct? They're pretty good, or they're okay, or we're hanging on. But we wanna make it great. And I talked about, you know, that this isn't gonna be, you know, unleashing the secrets to the perfect relationship in 30 minutes. This is like my next slide. It's a big hit that improves you a bit. So just, you know, like a V drink this morning to come along to church and get a bit encouraged. So maybe just before you drift off to sleep, elbow the person next to you and say, you just need a bit of improvement. Just a bit. Just a bit is how you say it is really important. You don't go, you know, make sure the focus is right. Just need a bit. Just a bit. No doubt you're sitting next to somebody incredible and they just need a bit. Just a little bit of improvement. Isn't that true? We all need a little bit of improvement. And really, if you're not in a relationship at the moment, I got great news for you. You're saving a lot of money. So good. But if you are in a relationship or not in a relationship, it doesn't matter. This message still applies to you, whether you're married or not married, because relationships form a massive part of our world. We have relationships within our families. Who loves family relationships? You know, and who has somebody in their family that you have that relationship with that you need to probably needs to be improved a bit? Some of them, you just pray for them. You pray, God, kill them. You pray, God. No, you don't pray that. So, you know, we have relationships with our bosses. We have relationship with our work colleagues. We have friend relationships. So relationship is a massive part of our world. And if we don't get good at relationship, then you know what happens? Our world tends to shrink down. But when we get better at relationship, our world begins to open up, and I guess we create more synergy. We can do a lot more when we're connected to people. In fact, it's one of the things that I believe that should be a hallmark of a Christian's life. The Bible says, how will they know that you're Christians? How will they know that you love me? It won't be by the big fancy churches, and it won't be by the great preaching, and it won't be by, you know, I carry a big Bible or a, you know, accept Jesus as Lord or burn in hell t-shirt. It's by this. It's by your love for one another. But they look in and they see the way that we do relationship, and it impresses and inspires them. And so we want to be able to kind of go down that track. So if you're not married, this would be great. I've got a key verse. Always good to have a key verse. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read it together. So don't do anything for selfish purposes. What an incredible statement. Can you imagine? I read that and I go, really? Could you say that? Don't do anything for selfish purposes. Who's already got that nailed? I mean, this could be a depressing, you know, if we kind of took a scorecard, how would you go on this one? Yeah. I do almost nothing for selfish purposes when I'm asleep, but when I'm awake, it's a little bit more tricky. But with humility, and there's a great key, you need to partner with humility. But because when you partner with humility, you'll actually think of others more than yourself. Because true humility is not thinking of yourself less, you know, thinking less of yourself. True humility is just thinking of yourself less. And you know, so for me, it's easy to deal with pride, because pride, you know, people think pride is loud and it's arrogant, and people could see me and go, whoa, you know, you're a really confident and proud person. That's not the definition of pride. Pride is simply thinking of yourself. Some of the most proudest people I've ever met in my life are the quietest ones. It's a stubborn refusal to yield. It's that stubborn refusal to bend. And in a relationship, this is what God wants to combat, you know, that stubborn refusal to submit to God, to that voice of the Spirit, to being sensitive. And so God says into that, you know, how you combat that is by embracing a friend called humility. And then instead of each person watching out for their own good, this is the result, you see. This is what he said. If you do this, instead of watching out for your own good, you're going to watch out for what's better for others. And you know, could you imagine if we all watched out for what was better for each other in this house? I promise you, you wouldn't miss out. I promise you, you wouldn't go without. That as you begin to bless other people, then other people would see the needs in your life and they'd begin to bless you and it'd be absolutely incredible and we'd all live happily ever after and Jesus would come back and that'd be great. We'd just have a sleep in. To help make this incredible series work, I spent about a year in prayer and fasting. No, I didn't really. But to come up with a great acronym, because acronyms are really cool. And you know, I tried to make them all rhyme and everything like that, but that didn't work at all. So I thought I'd make up an acronym for GREAT. And we covered this last time. Remember, we covered G and R, which was GROW was the first one, remember? Let it grow. So in other words, it didn't require going crazy and trying to, you know, squeeze this thing along and I'm going to make this thing work if it even kills the person. And I said this last time, I'll say it again. Ladies, your husband is not your project. Guys, your wife is not your project. And you've got to be, you know, if it's alive, if it's natural for it to grow, God wants our relationships to grow. He wants us to improve. It's the antithesis to the world, but it is the balance in the heart of God. Anything in God continues to grow and expand. Anything in this world has a higher entropy. In other words, it breaks down and decays. But the kingdom of God is the reverse. Remember that. So when we locate ourselves in the presence and the blessing of God, things should actually get better. So just let it grow. Just chill out, let it grow. And then the second one is keep it real. Keep it real. And in other words, again, just having that reality around it and not pretending you have a perfect relationship. In fact, I shared in the early service about a couple that we went to see for marriage counseling because Jen thought that we needed it. Obviously, we didn't. She probably did, but I didn't. No, it was fantastic.
Perfect.
Perfect, see? We went, yeah, that's it. She's preaching it now. Take that note. So we went and saw this couple, right? And we sat down, we're chatting to this marriage couple and we're talking about how fighting, you know, you ever fought in a relationship? Anybody had a fight in a relationship? So we talked to this couple and I'm just kind of go, well, how, you know, what do we do if you fight and things like that? And they looked at me, no word of a lie, and they've never fought in their relationship, never had a fight in their relationship. No, they weren't. They were truly, they'd never had a fight. Most boring couple I've ever met in my life. Never went back to them for marriage counseling. You know, just seriously. You can't help me. I come from planet Earth, weirdo people. Was that a bit dramatic? So, I don't know where you come from, but I come from a family of fighters. I remember the first time Jen came over to our place and came for a dinner. I think my Auntie Lynn was there. And my poor wife, she wasn't my poor wife then, she was in the corner, shell-shocked. Well, everybody's just yelling and food's flying and things are going on. And Jen goes, why is everybody upset? Oh, no, that's just how we talk.
I come from a very quiet household. And so Rick and I are literally the most opposite personalities you can find. And his family are so loud. They're like a big Italian family that yell at each other.
Yeah, that's how we roll. So it's crazy. And you know, I remember then we went to see another person who could actually, you know, speak into our marriage a little bit. And I said, you know, we seem to be fighting a lot. And he goes, that is awesome. Your marriage is doing exactly what it should do. Because the reality is if you're not fighting, you're either not close enough or don't care. So the fact that you are means that it's actually working. It's bringing things up because you're two different people coming together, learning to try to do this dance called life. And the sooner Jen learns to do it my way, the happier we will be. It's been nearly 30 years. I'm still believing that I maybe need to change a little bit more, just a little tiny bit more. Anyway, it's good to live like that. So we want to grow. We want to keep it real. Today, we want to talk about encourage, having the courage to encourage. So we're going to let it grow. We're going to keep it real. We're going to have the courage to encourage. And I was thinking about that word encourage, and I thought, well, you know, that word encourage, it doesn't come naturally for us, does it, to encourage people? We kind of take the mickey out of people a lot. I know you do. I don't. I'm certainly not wired that way at all. But I remember hearing once somebody, you know, said to, you know, the wife never says you love me, and he goes, I told you when we got together, I told you that I loved you, and if it ever changes, I'll tell you. And so 30 years had gone by, he'd only said it once. But who knows that, you know, I kind of go, yeah, doesn't that make sense? But anyway, the reality is that's not encouraging. So I was thinking about that word encourage, and it literally sounds to me, because we don't necessarily pronounce it in, we don't pronounce it encourage, we pronounce it encourage, don't we? Encourage. And I was thinking, well, that sounds like to me like putting courage in somebody. And literally, that's exactly where the word comes from. It's an old French word, and it literally means to hearten, to speak into, to make somebody have courage on the inside. It means to make strong, literally in that old French word. So when you're encouraging somebody, do you know what you're doing? You are literally speaking and sowing courage into that person that's before you in a seed form that is going to grow up and strengthen them on the inside. Think about that. In every relationship that you have, you can either, listen, think about it, discourage or encourage. And I thought, whoa, imagine if just that thought was with me in a lot of my conversations. I maybe might close my mouth a bit more, because I don't want to discourage, which means what? That you literally make a withdrawal from their courage and their confidence. You're literally taking away from who they are and making them less of the person that they're called to be. But when you encourage, you are saying, I am going to believe the best. I'm going to speak life into you. I'm going to put courage on the inside of you. I'm going to see a great future for you. So, you know, it took us a long while, and we eventually stumbled across this great truth that Jen's going to help us understand a little bit in just a second, and that this one little area in our life just began to change a whole lot for our relationship. Tell us a bit about it, Jen.
So it's believing the best and not assuming the worst about each other. And we found, like, when, I don't know, I think it was last year or the year before when Rick stumbled across this truth.
It was 4 years ago.
But it really hit me, and I think just believing the best in each other and filling that gap, instead of with assumption, with believing the best, makes a big difference in your relationship. So, you know, I love that God believes the best in us. It says that, you know, God is love. And so that verse, love believes the best, when he believes the best in us, when we, you know, stumble, and, you know, he's always believing in us. So I think, you know, our default needs to be to believe the best in each other. But sometimes that's hard. There's often unexplainable gaps between what people say and what they do. So what do we do then? Our default is to assume the worst sometimes. I know for me, sometimes I can lean towards the negative. And I think that seems sometimes our natural bent, but that's not what God wants. So the only thing we can control in the situation is what we place in the gap. So there can be either faith or fear, or the truth or our assumptions. So for Rick and I, we've been married 27 years. I said 30 years in the last service, but it's 27.
Been
together 30. But we've had a lot of opportunities to learn about each other through all of the different situations we've been in. Where Rick and I are like two worlds colliding, just the way our personalities and the way we are. We have different values, different pasts, opinions, different fears, life experiences, expectations and personalities. And when you throw all that together, then you've got different ways that you deal with situations. And so you really need to like apply this principle a lot. So there's a story I wanted to tell about, it was just a simple thing, but it was a simple text from Rick when I was at work, I don't know, this year sometime. And he just sent me a text and said, we're having Mexican for dinner, so you don't have to cook. So like the whole afternoon, I just had a picture of
Rick. I'm that good a husband.
He even sent me a sombrero emoji because it was just Mexican. And so I spent the rest of the afternoon imagining him cooking in the kitchen, and I told my workmates that I'm getting Rick's cooking Mexican for me, and I was really like, you know, just anticipating this Mexican meal in the kitchen. Anyway, I got home from work and the kitchen was dark. Rick was sitting on the couch watching TV. There was no smell of Mexican wafting through the doors that I'd imagined, and it was just not what I anticipated or assumed. And so I placed in that gap my own picture and my own assumption, when Rick had meant that he was going to take me out for dinner for Mexican, and that was what he was going to do. So he took me out to a Mexican restaurant.
And she was disappointed. Seriously, yeah, people, like,
so,
come on.
So, like, when I walked through the kitchen, I was just at first disappointed, and I felt, you know, like let down, but wasn't even the truth. So that's like just an example. Another one was when Rick finally got his fifth motorbike, because his fourth one he crashed, well, he got crashed into, but like after that he'd agreed no more motorbikes, and then someone gave him a motorbike. So I couldn't argue with
Thank
that.
Thank you, Jesus.
So one night he didn't come home in time for dinner. I didn't know where he was, and I was starting to worry. And instead of faith in that gap, I placed fear in that gap. And I started to assume all sorts of things, and I had him in a ditch somewhere, you know, like I just didn't know where he was. And so
body
I remember pacing and just, you know, because he just got this motorbike and he didn't come home. But it turned out he was out of range. I couldn't reach him on the phone because he was doing a pastoral visit, and it was all good. He just was a bit late because he was talking.
Who would have thought?
But if I'd placed faith in that gap instead of fear, then yeah, I wouldn't have even been going through all that trauma and turmoil. So that's just another example. A quote I love is, a happy marriage is one of two forgivers, because even when things sometimes go wrong and you do disagree, or you do feel let down in any way, we've got to forgive. That's the only way to move forward and to stay married, stay in a relationship, you know, and that's what God asks us to do, is to walk in forgiveness. Also, God talks about a lot in the Word, the power of loving kindness. The two words are linked. And there's so much power in kindness, even when you're, you know, there's assumptions, or, you know, you have an opportunity to place something else in that gap rather than believing the best, then we need to place kindness in that gap as well. There's a wonderful saying that I love, it is better to be kind than right. Sometimes you can win the battle, but you still haven't won in the long run. So just placing kindness there in that gap.
That's it. Yeah, so remembering that, you know, there is this tension that we have in our relationships, and there's always a gap. And that's the most amazing thing, is there is a gap between your expectation and reality. And what you've got to realize is that you fill that gap. And it's always been there. When you first fell in love, it was there. And you didn't think about it, but you filled it automatically believing the best. So when we first got together, one of the things that stood out to Jen, obviously, was my incredible good looks. But apart from that I was outgoing and I was motivated and I was focused and I was disciplined.
And funny.
And funny. And what I loved about Jen was that she's so easygoing, and that she's, you know, kind of carefree, and just, you know, doesn't get really stressed out about anything, just kind of go with anything. Fast forward a few years. Now I'm controlling. I want to be the center of attention. You dominate everything. You're pig-headed. You're lazy and you don't do anything, you know. And did we change that much? No, we didn't change at all. But we just changed what we put in the gap between expectation and reality. And I realized when I stumbled across this about 4 years ago that you choose. And the reality is that you either choose by default or you choose by purpose. But the fact is, you get to choose every single time what you put in the gap. And the more that you purposely choose to believe the best, the more power to that. Psychologists tell us that up to 80% of us have a negative bias. So that's okay. You just got to understand that, you know, I will always have this negative tendency at times. If there's a gap, I'm going to have a tendency towards assuming the best. But it's in that time, in that moment, that I've got to go, I can speak into that. I can literally declare something over that. No matter what happens in my mind and racing around inside of my head, I can still begin to believe the best and speak into that moment. I remember a little while back when I was working somewhere else, I had a moment, I started to really struggle with my boss. We hadn't been communicating for a little while, and it got in my head that they weren't happy with me. And so, you know, normally I just kind of shrug it off, but because of the disconnection, that gap was bigger. And the opportunity for the negativity was greater. It got inside of my head. And instead of arresting that, somebody who's quite confident, who's normally, you know, got it all kind of under control and know whether I'm doing a good job or not, I just began to find this part of my world eroding to the point where I literally was turning up thinking I'm going to lose my job. This could be the last week. They're not happy with me. And I thought, man, I can't live with this. This is ridiculous. I'm going to go see my boss and I'm going to have a chat to him. And I thought, okay, I need to be a little bit clever about this instead of walking, you hate me? Because that would be awkward. Because if he said no, now he thinks I'm an idiot. Or if he goes yes, then I'll just cry my way home. But so either way, it wasn't good. So I thought, all right, I'm going to go and see him because I'm not going to continue to assume the worst. So I literally made the opportunity, went out and I chatted to him and I said, hey, just want to let you know what's going on in my world, what projects I'm focusing on, what's working. We're getting to chat through that. And I said, hey, is there anything in my world that you're not happy with or that you want me to focus on? He goes, no, you're doing fantastic. You're doing great. So all this while, I was living under this assumption that they weren't happy with him and they were totally fine. Here's the reality. You know, oftentimes people aren't thinking of you at all. You know, isn't that? I mean, that's the sad truth. You kind of, they don't think that nice of me. I don't think they like me. No, they're not even thinking of you. Yeah, people, you know, what do you think of me? I'm thinking of lunch. It's already after 11. I'm well and truly thinking of lunch. You know, I normally start to think about lunch about 9:30. So just because I'm eating morning tea. So, you know. Remember, the key to a successful relationship is food, and then love bears all things is another crazy verse that we want to focus on. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. What an incredible verse. Have you ever stopped to just think about what that verse means? To literally go that if I'm going to operate of love, I'm going to bear all things. I'm going to believe everything. Yeah, but what even if I know that he's a liar? But the Bible says that you believe all things. Hopes all things. When it looks like that relationship has ended, it's over, it's toxic, I can't handle it anymore. It says, but I'm still going to hope. And it says, I'm going to endure. And one of the great things that we've always did in our relationship is we removed the D word. It's just off the table. And because I remember when we stood and we made our vows to God and said, till death do us part. So I could still kill her, but I can't divorce her. So, you know, but it's okay because she could still kill me. And sometimes, you know, especially when she's giving me Weet-Bix at night and the rat poison's out on the shelf, I'm like, you know, not sure. How was the week? Not saying anything, but the reality is, you know, that you just remove that word. And then the other thing that we did, we would never go get counsel from somebody who wouldn't speak life into our relationship. You know, so when we've gone to a couple of people over the years and gone to counseling, if we don't feel that they're speaking life into our relationship, we're not going back, not going to speak to them.
I think it's better off even if you can't find someone right there and then to speak life over your relationship or over you is to go straight to God and read words of life and meditate on his words of life, because one word from God is better than 1,000 from man anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But seeking out those words of life and someone that will speak that life over you is vital.
Yeah. So I was looking at this verse in the Amplified, and it makes it even worse. You ready? This is what it says. It says, love bears all things regardless of what comes. Love believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Which is kind of what we're talking about, huh? That whole premise of trying to look for that best, to be encouraging. Love hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Who's had difficult times in their relationship? Just holding on to hope. And endures all things without weakening. Love never fades, it fails. It never fades, it never ends. Paul was saying that this is the attitude which we need to approach our relationships. And this isn't natural. That's what you got to realize, that when you read these verses and you kind of look at it like that, this doesn't kind of make sense to me, right? When I read this, you know, automatically, to be perfectly honest, I go, that's impossible. Not only is that impossible, that's crazy talk, God. It's not possible without understanding what love is. See, love is not a feeling. We talked about that. But love is not even a chemical reaction within us. Falling in love, chemicals. Love is not even a decision. Love is a person. God is love. God is love. 1 John 4 says God is love. Real love is God. And so that verse is about allowing God right into the middle of your relationship vortex, as it were. The way that you view relationships is through the heart and the Spirit of God. You're choosing every day in every situation you find yourself in to believe the best, to speak life over relationships. And the only way you can do that is when you allow God in the middle of that relationship, when you see others through the eyes of the way that God sees them. I'm so glad that God saw me through, even God sees you through the eyes of others. God sees me through Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If God was to look at me outside of Jesus, he would probably shake his head and cry. But when he looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees me pure, holy, washed, clean, justified, with all the gifts and talents in place, everything coming together. Who knows that we don't really see ourselves like that often? But God says, I want you to start to see like that. I want you to be somebody who is almost blindly in love with the potential of the person opposite you. And that will change the way that you do relationship and change the way that you do life.
I think also when you have a revelation of how much God loves you and you really get it, it's so much easier to encourage and love other people because you know how loved you are. There's a verse I love too, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14. Be brave, be strong, and let all you do be done in love. And also another translation on The Voice, it says, stay alert, stay tall in faith, be courageous and strong. Let love prevail in your life, words and actions. And in the Amplified it says, as inspired by God's love for us. I also looked up the meaning of encouragement as well. And John, you'll be proud that I've found the Hebrew word, which is chazak. And
yeah, that's exactly
that's
how you say
it. Is it? Anyway.
That'll do. Chazak.
Anyway, one of the other meanings, because Rick read them out before, was to sustain, to strengthen the hands of anyone. Wow. In when you encourage. And I sort of had a picture of two people sort of, you know, like holding someone's hand and strengthening them. And then also says to encourage yourself, bound together with God when you encourage yourself. So I thought that was awesome. And so I just wanted to, like, say when years ago, like when we were first married, like the first 10 years, I think, I used to, because my love language is words, and I'm feeling really encouraged by words, so I just assumed that Rick would too. So I used to write so many letters, so many poems, and like letters in his lunchbox and on the fridge, and it took me a while to realise he really
so
didn't
beautiful.
Care at all.
Kept them all. She caught me throwing
threw my
them out.
Poem in the bin.
I got in
I
so
found
much
it
trouble.
In the bin. I was like,
okay, don't throw them out, all right?
Just not within the first week at least, like maybe, you know, like a year later, but anyway. But I wanted to say that, you know, just in the really, those crucial times in our marriage when I've really needed to be believed in and encouraged, Rick's always been that encourager and really supported me, and he's seen me at my worst and he still keeps believing me and loving me. So that's so important in
go,
a relationship.
Get up, Jenny. You can do it. Go, keep running.
There's a great verse, Proverbs 15, 23. A word fitly spoken in due season. How good it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that much to give someone encouragement. Like, it's just a few seconds to say, you look amazing, and you know, finding something to encourage someone about is something that's quick, but at the same time carries so much weight. And I think also praying for, being strategic about encouraging others, praying for those in your home. You know, how can I make that person feel encouraged and loved, and through actions as well, and just and really praying for just ways to show them how loved they are, how special they are. It says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. God created and formed the world by his words, which means, you know, we're created in his image. So how we speak is, there's so much weight with our words. They're so important. The Message translation says, words kill, words give life. They're poison or fruit. You choose. So I think it's really important just to, you know, just you know, how we speak to each other, like this, it carries life or it carries death. But, you know, being intentional and speaking life over each other, like Rick said before, is just so important. And also the wisdom to know when to hold back sometimes when, you know, you want to just say a whole stream of words and say what you think. Like, there's wisdom in holding back. It sort of talks about in Proverbs as well. And just, you know, just speaking, you know, those life-giving words are so important. I just want to end with a quote by Mother Teresa. Kind words may be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless.
I was thinking, you know, when you try to give somebody a piece of your mind, you're probably losing a bit of your own. So you know, need to hold back on that. As the band comes this morning, reminds me of a story I heard years ago of a guy called Joe. And Joe was in a really toxic marriage. And he didn't know it at the time, but he married the Wicked Witch of the North. And it was just so toxic. She made his life a living hell for like 10 years. And the marriage had just, you know, degraded and eroded to this point that he wanted out for sure. But he didn't just want out because of the years of abuse and verbal abuse and the trauma he'd gone through. He thought, man, this, you know, I don't just want out of this thing. I want her to pay a little bit. And he went and saw the counselor, wise old counselor, sat down with him, and Joe just unloaded, you know, the 10 plus years of hate and hurt and bitterness that was in his heart. The counselor goes, I think I can help you, Joe. He said, this is what I want you to do. He goes, I want you to go home and I want you to treat your wife like she's the most wonderful woman in the whole entire world. And Joe is like, what? Did you just hear what I had to say about this woman? He goes, I know, just listen though. He said, I want you to think this week of, you know, maybe what you can do to help her, or maybe think about taking her out for dinner, or just, you know, sowing into her life. And he said, and we're going to do this for 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, I want you to walk up and then present the divorce papers. She'll have no idea that you just, she would have think everything was going wonderful. And he's going, that is awesome. That is the meanest thing you could, I love it. You're the greatest counselor on the planet. And so Joe goes home. He is excited, man. He's got the divorce papers tucked away in his shirt and he can't wait. In fact, he's so excited on the way home, he stops off and he buys some flowers. And drops him off and, hey, honey, you know, just had a wonderful day. Gave her the flowers. Oh, thank you, Joe. You didn't even know you were thinking of me. And he goes, I'm always thinking of you. Anyway, so he's kind of thinking this and he's laying awake at night trying to think, what can I do to make this lady feel like the most beautiful woman in the world? And so the next day, he gets up early and he makes the bed, because they were sleeping in separate beds even, you know. And he gets down, he makes the breakfast, and gets her a little bit of breakfast. And she is just like, whoa, what has come over this man? A couple of days later, he checks in with the counselor. How's it going? He goes, counselor, it is going so well, man. He said, I bought her flowers, I made the bed, I've cleaned up around the house. She is thinking, I'm the best husband. This is the best thing you've ever given me. I couldn't believe it. This is going so well. Joe, this is going to be amazing. She's got no idea what's coming. She has no idea. Anyway, so the days go on and he organizes to have dinner at one of the fancy restaurants in town, takes her out, buys her a new dress. And he's still unrolling this plan. Day after day, it's beginning to, every night he would go to sleep and he'd think tomorrow, what can I do to make her feel like the most beautiful woman in the world? Over the next couple of weeks, apart from doing dinners and doing the washing, and they even managed to get a weekend away. Finally, the counselor hadn't heard from him for a couple of weeks' time and eventually gets hold of him and, Joe, what's happening? Did you serve the papers on her? And he goes, what are you talking about? The divorce papers. You know, what was her face like when you showed it to him? He goes, why would I divorce the most beautiful woman in all the world? The power of encouragement not only shifts their world, but changes yours. We're people who operate out of a sense of encouragement see the world differently than those who don't. That God wants to open, the Bible says this, God wants to open the eyes of our understanding to see the potential greatness in the people around us. Oh, we don't need any help to see the faults. But we need the grace of God to see the greatness that's hidden in the lives of those around you. So in our relationships, to make them great, we're going to let it grow, we're going to keep it real, and we're going to have the courage to encourage. So I'd love you to just bow your heads as we pray together today and just share. Allow God to speak to you, maybe in your relationship. I don't know where you're at, what's been going on in your world. Maybe you're going through some pretty tough relationship times. Man, we all go through that. But right in the middle of that, you have a choice to speak life, to believe the best, or to be discouraging and assume the worst. And this could be a relationship with your partner, could be with a spouse, could be with a family member, could be with a work colleague, could be with a sibling. But I want you to just hold that relationship up right now and go, God, just breathe into me first. I need to have the courage to encourage. Lord, I see the faults so easily, but I don't need to look for dirt. I'm looking for gold. So I'm going to encourage. I'm going to encourage the behaviors I want to see. I'm going to encourage the person that I want to be with. I want to encourage and speak over them the very things that I want even evidenced in my own life. I want to have the courage today to take that step. Because often we say in relationships, yeah, but if only they did this or if only they did that. But what if today you just had the courage to go, you know what? I can't control what they do, but I can control what I do. Give me the courage to encourage. Give me the courage to encourage this week. Give me the courage to speak life over that relationship at work. Give me the courage to believe the best over that person who's driving me crazy. Give me the courage to see God, what you see inside of them. That maybe isn't evident yet, but I could speak it out in seed form and believe for an incredible harvest in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And maybe you came out today and out of all our relationships, the most important is our relationship with Jesus. The Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we talked about this right in the middle of the whole message today about love. Remember, God is love. If you want to be successful in any relationship, then I want to encourage you to bring God into the middle of that relationship. And if your relationship with God is broken down a little bit, then I want to speak life into you. And I want to be able to pray for you right here this morning. I don't want to embarrass you. You don't need to come up the front. But right where you are, I want to be able to pray with you. And if God has been speaking to you, you're going to make a decision for Jesus Christ today. I want to make a decision to get your heart right with God. To turn around, or maybe you've been away from God and this is your opportunity to come back to God, then this is your moment in the service. And I'd love you to do something brave. I'd love you to just lift your hand up. I'll see it and you could put it down and I can pray with you. We could pray together today to make your peace with God. If God has been speaking to you and you want to make a decision for Jesus right now, as I look across, I want to ask you to be bold. Lift your hand up. This is your moment. Make a decision for Jesus in this house. Thank you. God bless you, darling. I see the pen. Anybody else this morning? Make that decision for Jesus. I don't want to miss you. This is God's been speaking to you. That's awesome. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for the hand that went up, but the hearts that open up today. That, Lord, you are a great encourager of us. You see the best in us. You have hopes and dreams for us. And Father, as we connect with you, as we start that journey together with you, anew and afresh, that you continue to work your way and your will into our life, and that we have great relationship with our God who is in heaven. That He's not just a God far away, but He's a God close, and that we can make our relationships great. And I thank you, Father, as we surrender our heart and our life to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give it up this morning to the King. Awesome. Make it great. Why don't you stand up as we're about to go out rejoicing. Love you to hang around, meet some new people, grab a coffee in the cafe. Don't forget, this week, make your relationships great. Amen. God bless you.